Again, well, thank you for being here. Appreciate it so much. Thankful that you chose to be here instead of other places you might could be. I wish that we could make it possible for people to truly understand the beauty of being able to come together. Also wanted to say appreciate so much your prayers while we were away. And thank you for praying for the families. And appreciate it so much. And it's just a wonderful thing. I talked about the providence of God and how God does things in our life we can't even understand. We'll never understand them. We don't even understand how He works even when we can look at God's Word. But, you know, we think of various things. And I certainly wanted to mention, too, that we need to thank God for answering our prayers on behalf of Jason. Thankful that he's doing as well as he is. There's a lot of other people that we certainly can thank God for, and there's still a whole list of people that are needing God and needing Him both physically and spiritually. And so we need to continually pray for that. And that's what we're actually talking about is that idea of teaching those that have not been obedient to God. And we talked about being positive about this in 1 Corinthians 9, just how positive Paul was, that he made every effort to teach. He understood the needs of the people, whether they had been quote-unquote religious people or not. He understood that. But he also understood the need to get that message out to them about Jesus Christ. We know that if you wanted to take success rate, the percentage is very low of people who will, number one, obey God initially, and number two, who will stay obedient to God. And that's a sad thing, but it's a true thing. It was something that Jesus told us so that we wouldn't get discouraged, so that we would be positive about it, because there are still those folks that want to be obedient. And just like Paul, we know that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and we too are chief of sinners. We need Him, and people are still lost today. And we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that. We don't know if it's that person we're talking to at a restaurant or talking to in our neighborhood or talking to that's a part of our family. It doesn't really matter. They have a need for Jesus Christ. And if we are thankful for what we've received, then we should want that for them as well. And we talked about God helps positive people. And we talked about, just like in going out and planting a garden, that indeed those of us that are His children would pray about that, and we would, you know, He provided all the things necessary. He provided the seed, He provided the soil, He provides the rain, He provides everything. There's nothing really other than us going out and making sure that seed gets in the ground, and maybe with the water that God's given, we might go out and do some watering. But we also understand it's in the power that He's put in that, all these physical things, that it's possible, and it's through His providence that we actually have these things. Same way spiritually. And the power in this case is the power of the Word of God and in His providence in working. But then we have things to do. The one thing that we need to be aware of is we need to be preparing for this. That there's not just those folks that do this, it's every one of us that are Christians. We find in the New Testament that they went everywhere preaching the Word, those that were scattered. Every Christian understood the need to pass this on. And so we find in 2 Timothy 2, starting with verse 19, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of the God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's a start there. First of all, as His children, get your life right. God knows. He's saying so. Now, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. He said, "Abe, listen, get your life right. Keep it right." But that said, he didn't say, "Abe, I know you're going to be sinless." He said, "But make it blameless." When you do things that are wrong, correct them. Get your life right. Keep it right. Keep yourself clean. And then you'll be prepared. Prepared and useful to the master. The second thing that we want to look at is a man who did that. Now, I realize that Ezra was certainly keeping the law of Moses. And he understood the need, though, to do certain things. This passage gets used a lot because he prepared his heart. When did he do that? He prepared it from the time he was obviously young. He understood the need to prepare. No, you don't wait and prepare for this to go teach someone on the spur of the moment. You need to know God's Word. So how did he manage that? He prepared his heart, number one, to seek the law of the Lord. Well, how would we make use this wonderful example of his? Well, I would need to prepare myself by knowing the law of Christ. And to do it. We just talked about that. It's the idea of doing it, getting iniquity out of your life, keeping your life right, and to teach what? The statutes and ordinances in Israel. So what should we be doing? To teach the statutes and ordinances of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to anyone that needs to understand them. I need to prepare for that. I need to understand God's Word. I need to know what it says. In Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, it's kind of a warning given here. It's a warning to let us know that you better be prepared for the time you ought to be teachers. He's saying there comes a time in anyone Christian's life when they ought to be a teacher. But now he's very concerned about these Jews because he said, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that one teach you the milk of God's Word. For you've come to need milk, or the first principles, excuse me, the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong or solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Oh, well, you know, Brother so-and-so can quote all these passages of Scripture. He's not talking about quoting passages of Scripture. He's talking about using them in your life and using them to talk to others. I will argue that the one reason that I have tried hard to learn God's Word, and I'm certainly at the low end of that, but the one reason is only because I've been challenged, because I talk to people, because they challenge me with it. Because I need someone to come back to me and say, no, wait just a second. And as a result of that, I have to go to God's Word. But see, if I just ever say to you, and I've told you this before, if I ever say, well, I just think that's a good idea, I've told you, just slap me. Because I am in some serious trouble when it comes to my good ideas. If I say to you, oh, you want to study that subject matter, let's turn over to this and read this. Then I've used it. And I can discern between the solid food and the milk. Milk. If you're still in the milk of God's Word, get prepared to get beyond that. Get prepared to be able to talk to people. When they ask you a question, be prepared. Matter of fact, be prepared to the point that you set aside, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, or put Jesus Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks you for a reason for the hopes within you with meekness and fear. Be able to defend it. Be able to talk about it. Be able to answer it. Well, but I don't know how. We need to know how. This is serious. We can't leave all this, and you know, God put this in our hands, this preparation. He's not going to take care of that for me. I've told people before, I've set this Bible to the side of my bed all the time, and not once have I woke up in the morning and I knew it all. Not once. This doesn't work that way. It won't work that way. If we expect God to do it all for us. In Jeremiah 1, when he talked to Jeremiah, a wonderful man, young man, I've told you before, very young at this point, very young. And God says to him, I want you to go talk to my people. I want you to go talk to Judah. He'd already put the northern tribes in captivity. Talk to the southern tribes. Get them straightened out. Verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an olive tree. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. Now what he's talking about is, I'm ready to do what I said I'd do. I'm going to come in and punish these people. What do you see? Well, I see a boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of this land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord. They shall come and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem against all its walls all around and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. What are you talking about, God? I mean, we're better than they are. No, you're not, he said. I gave you specific commands. You were my chosen people. Oh, I know the Babylonians are evil, but you are too. So, Jeremiah, prepare yourself and arise. Now, that's strong. Can you imagine this young man going, you're wanting me to go talk to the leaders of Judah? You remember me telling you last week, he goes and sends a message to the king. The king cuts it up and throws it in the fire. You're wanting me to talk to them? And all we need to do is, we don't have to suffer any persecution for it, or not very much, when we talk to people about God's Word. Speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. This is our part. For behold, I will make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land. Think about that. God said, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. I'll make you strong. I'll be right there with you. But you still have to do it. They're not going to do anything to you. I'm not going to allow certain things to happen to you. Now, they treated him awful. They persecuted him. But they never killed him. Against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. You know, I'd be a little bit dismayed, wouldn't you, if God came and said, hey, but you know, here's the thing. I want you to go out, and I want you to go against the President of the United States, and I want you to go against the Senate, and I want you to go against the House of Representatives, and I want you to go against the Supreme Court, and then I'm going to tell you, all the people of the land aren't going to like you either. There's nobody going to like you. And now we do. We teach God's Word, and what happens? Well, we're talked about like we're dogs because we're trying to get people out of sin. We talked about because we quote the Bible. Oh, you're awful people. They'll fight against you. They shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. And think about that. He did. And Jeremiah, of course, ended up down in Egypt. not with his people. So how do we accomplish this? Oh, we've got a battle. People aren't going to like it sometimes. People aren't going to want to hear God's Word. And sometimes when we talk to people, they're going to just turn against us. They're not going to have anything to do with us. And it may be those of our own household. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. But it doesn't take away from us getting prepared. Get prepared with the Word of God. Get prepared for people to not like it. Get prepared for it. It's going to happen. Even in this country, it's going to happen. And as Mike prayed in his prayer, in other countries, lots of times it's much worse. So what do? Well, we put on the whole armor of God. If we put it on, we'll be able to stand. I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to stand because I've got the Word of God. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. But he says, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. You may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. He's not only just talking to those people at Ephesus. He's talking to us as well. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, take the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jeremiah put them all on. Jeremiah had them on. Jeremiah, when they talked to him, said, but I'm going to tell you what, it's the Word of God. You're the ones that are preaching false. You're the ones that are teaching wrong. That's what we need to do as well. We need to let people know that Jesus loves them. He wants them to get out of their sin. And when it's not received well, we're prepared. When they say to us, that's just you, Abe, that's what you're saying, we say, read this passage of Scripture. But Abe, that's, read this passage of Scripture. It's still there. Preparation. Romans 10, verse 1. When we think about the passion of Paul, when we think about His concern for lost souls, when we think about my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Which one?
All of them.
Paul couldn't stand the thought that anyone was lost. How do I know that? Go back to chapter 9. I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself was accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. This man had such great passion. Not just compassion, but passion for teaching the Word of God. He could not stand to look at someone and think that they were lost eternally. And how did the apostles demonstrate this? Well, they took a man, they beat him for preaching. And they came out of there, and they went, "Yeah, we got to quit. We can't keep doing this. This is not working out for us. They're beating us for doing this." No, they didn't. They came out of there, and they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, You are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them, who by the mouth of Your servant David has said, 'Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things?' The kings of this earth took their stand, their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ." And they go on to praise God, and we see in the Word, verse 31, "When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness." Now, this just made them stronger. This just entrenched in them the need to get that message out. They had a passion for teaching God's Word. We talk about the passion of Christ. Well, these folks carried that forward and talked about that crucifixion of His. And in Acts 18, we find a man who had that fervor, who was fervent in the Spirit, who was out trying to teach people, Apollos. Unfortunately, he was not teaching right baptism. He was teaching the baptism of John. Let me tell you about the honestness of this man. When Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and taught him the way of the Scriptures more accurately, and now he understood about Jesus Christ, what does he do? He's not one of those people who goes, "Well, that's just you." He took that immediately. And what did he do with that? Did he sit down and say, "Oh, I'm so ashamed"? Not at all. He kept teaching. We find that he went out, he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament, that Jesus is the Christ. He didn't give it up. Correction made. He understood he had needed to continue doing this. He had it to start with, and he continued with it. And I'll tell you something. Paul was appreciative. He was appreciative of those that had a passion for teaching, even though he said some of them certainly wasn't from the right reason. But they're out there teaching, and he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm just thankful the Word of God gets taught. I am too. If someone will teach the Word of God, I don't know what their motive is. I don't know what their idea is. I can know none of that." But he certainly says, verse 18 of Philippians 1, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." And he goes on to talk about the fact that it will turn out for their good. And he goes on to say in verse 20, "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm going to do it even if I have to die for it." You talk about a man with some passion. You talk about a man who understood the need. He did. And can't give up. We can never give up. Well, you know, but I've done so much. I mean, I've been out there, and you know, I've actually taught a few people. No, never give up. We find 2 Timothy 4:1 talking to Timothy. "I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing, preach the Word. Be instant," or be ready, "in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers, and having itching ears, they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned unto fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And I realize he's talking to one who was a located gospel preacher. But that same thing applies to all of us. There comes a time when people want their ears itch, when they want to hear that what they're doing is okay. Can't do it. the gospel has to be preached the same every century until the end. It can never change. It does not change according to a society that doesn't want it. It stays the same. It takes exactly the same thing to be saved. It takes exactly the same sins to turn away from. None of that has ever changed. We need to persevere in it. In Acts 13, even under adverse circumstances, got to keep going on. They had finally reached the point where they had been teaching the Jews, and the Jews said, no, don't want to hear it anymore. Don't want to hear about that Christ. Quit doing it. They said, okay. They grew bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, therefore we turn to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the world. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as them been pointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women, and the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust of the feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They just kept going. They said, okay, we're not doing well here. We'll do it somewhere else. There comes a time in all of our lives when we would love for someone to be obedient to the gospel. But we realize we have to back off for a while. They're not going to listen. It's not us. It's God's Word. They just don't want to hear God's Word. They don't want to hear it. And there's times when we just go to somewhere else. We just talk to someone else. But we should never quit talking. Paul never gave up. Here he is in prison. He's in a very bad circumstances. He's in Rome. He's been taken there, certainly, and he knows that he's already been told that at some point he's going to die. Now, there's some believes he gets out of this first imprisonment, but he ends up back there and he's eventually killed by them because the Jews could not stand what he was doing. He dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no one forbidding him. He kept on keeping on. He was not ever going to quit until the day he died. The most beautiful thing about people who love the Word of God is that they want it to be taught until the day they die. I think of so many people that have reached a point in life where maybe even their mind's not functioning as well, but what do they want? They want someone to hear the Word of God. They want that Word to be taught. They have never quit. And in 1 Timothy 4, he realized that Timothy was struggling with this, just like all of us do from time to time, and he realized that Timothy might not be as strong as he'd been. Maybe he was starting to slack off. Maybe he wasn't persevering in what he's supposed to be doing. Verse 13, till I come and give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all. And what will happen? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. And what will happen? You'll both save yourself and those that hear you. There will be some people that will listen. He said, just keep on. Yeah, there's going to be, we found out from before, majority of the people don't care. And that's sad. And are people we love, and they just don't care. And we cannot figure out why. Why wouldn't they want to save their souls? Why wouldn't they want to, if you will, take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't they want their sins remitted? First Corinthians 15, whole chapter about the resurrection. He starts off talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He continues through and talks about if we only have hope in Jesus in this life, we're, of all people, most miserable. We're the most to be pitied. He then talks about how easy that is for God, how He can take a seed and it'll die and you put it in the ground and something comes up from that. But there is a resurrection, if you will, of that seed. He talks about the different kinds of bodies, the celestial and the terrestrial. And then he goes on and talks about when Jesus comes for His final time. And as a result of that, he said, don't be moved. Don't let anything get in your way. Make sure that you truly understand to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? knowing that your labor is not in vain, Lord. He said, Abe, I don't care how hard you think you might work. Your work will never be in vain. But God, I've talked to some people and they just don't want to seem to be obedient. Be positive, Abe. Go out and teach some more. Keep doing it. Well, where is that person? I don't know. Well, what about this person? I don't know. Remember his part? Let's think about what God will do for us. The majority of it's done. We just have a little part to do. Persevere. Keep doing it. He told the church at Colossae, appreciate so much, he said, how you've been doing. I really am happy that you are the type of folks that are out there spreading the gospel. So he said, but let me tell you something. I realize that, you know, I'm going through some difficult times. We know he was imprisoned at this time. And he talked about that mystery that had now been revealed that came through the Jews. And he said to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Paul had it right. He said, have an attitude of warning everyone. Have an attitude of teaching everyone. Have an attitude of understanding that's your responsibility to try to make perfect everyone in Christ. What's he saying? Oh, you know, you'll have this bunch of perfect people? Absolutely not. But you'll have people who will have been perfected by the blood of Jesus Christ. Their sins will have been remitted forever. And he said, this is what I labor for. This is what I labor for. But I understand, not possible without God, which is the sum of what we've been talking about. You see, truthfully, prayer. We pray to God, He provides. We pray for those that are lost, He provides. Power is in the Word. It'll never be in us. I can do the best job that I possibly can. It'll never be in me. I have never, ever, ever converted anyone. I have, through my life, taught people. And it's through the Word that people are converted. The Word converts. The Word changes people from one state to another. The obedience of that Word is what will take care of their sins. The power is in the Word. Providence of God. It's worked in every one of our lives. It'll continue to work in all those that are lost. And we need to be looking for those people that God might send our way. Because I'll tell you what. If we don't, He'll use someone that will. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for a number of things. Prepared to teach. Prepared to live. Got that backwards. Prepared to live God's Word. Learn it, live it, and teach it. That's what I need to be doing. And then, prepared for anything that might come. Prepared for those that won't accept it. Prepared for those that will be very angry with me. Prepared for anything. And then I need to have a passion. I need to understand and know that there are folks out there that are lost. And I need to have a passion for teaching. And I need to do it fervent. I don't need to sit back and go, well, you know, if you'd really like to hear God's Word, maybe. I need to do it with boldness, and you do too. Every one of us needs to stand there before someone, not with arrogance, but with confidence. Confidence because we have the Word of God. Confidence in the Word of God, and confidence in God. And then persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up. Well, I've talked to... Talk again. Well, so-and-so fell away. Talk to him again. Don't give up. Don't give up. I mean, I'm not talking about to the point where they won't even want to see you, but don't give up on people. Never give up on them. Because we never know. We never know when someone might listen. And what about that? Well, there's still people today. We need to understand our part in all of this. We need to understand we need to be doing some things. We also need to understand that God keeps working. He hasn't quit. He still loves people. That's why we're still here. There's still people that need to hear God's Word. And we might be the ones that need to teach them. And there are people with some good hearts out there. Several of you recently. And I always appreciate when you talk about people you've talked to. I don't look at that as, oh, pat yourself on the back. I look at it as that. I thank you because it gives me more courage to want to go talk to people. Well, what about it? Let's say that there's someone you need to talk to about Christ, but you don't feel personally that you can do it. You don't have that confidence in your ability. Well, there's plenty of people here that will. There's plenty of us that would be happy to sit down with someone. Just get it out there. But today, are you a Christian? If not, why not? I don't really understand. Why are you not a Christian? Why haven't you obeyed Christ? Why haven't you wanted your sins forgiven? Put the same thing up there. It's what the Bible says. You know, I can give you scriptures for every one of those. Anyone that's willing to sit down and talk to me, I can give you multiple scriptures for every one of those. And you can too. And many of you know those scriptures. I'm not teaching something that's not in God's Word. That's what I'm saying. So please obey Him today. Stand and sing a song. Would you please stand?